Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Okay, it is our number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We're 59 minutes from the deadline. Welcome in, General Gavin Dawson. Salute to you. Thanks for making us part of your day at ease. There's Brian Broaddus, 75-50. It's you along with Lucius Alexander, who's in the Pimp Cup at Master Control, and a good afternoon to you here on your home of the Cowboys. How the heck you doing over there, Brian? A deal's not getting done. There's no way, right?
Yeah, right now, right before we went on the air, I reached out to a couple different people and I actually got the crickets emoji from one of them.
Okay.
So, yeah, it doesn't seem like that things are going to go in a direction for the Cowboys as far as getting this thing done, but you know, like you said, we've got 58 minutes. You never know, might be a call, but I would venture to say that they're preparing for him to play on the tag.
So you said during crosstalk a couple of interesting things that mm-hmm. sounded like sort of inside information there. They wanted to make it a Russell Wilson type of contract. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, they were trying to get the money in a similar fashion to where Russell Wilson and General, I'm terrible with numbers and ideas.
That's 4-140 yeah, or 5-175.
Yeah, exactly. They were thinking about that number per year is what they were thinking about. But you know, that's kind of where the number, the 35 per year, is what they were really trying to get to, and
107, you know, guaranteed.
Exactly. And you know, so you know, that's where it started. You know, it just stayed there. It never really moved off that number. And, you know, I even threw out there some, you know, possibilities with Dak's group, you know, looking at it and saying, well, listen, if we do this, are we going to have a chance to renegotiate? Once, you know, you've talked a lot about TV numbers, rightfully mm-hmm. so. You've talked about gambling, rightfully so. Are we going to have an opportunity to redo this? And to me, it appeared that the Cowboys were in that mindset of like, no, you signed this contract. This is where we're at. And so,
yeah, because you can't hold out anymore.
You can't hold out anymore. Yeah. So they're going to play. It appears to me that they're going to play the short game here and on Dak's side, and they're going to try and work it with the tags and see where they're at. And the Cowboys are going to have to kind of reevaluate where they're at. And like you've been saying the last couple of days, hey, it gives me 16 more opportunities potentially if we can get through the pandemic here and get football on the field to evaluate further if this is going to cost us even more money or we're going to move on and try and find another quarterback.
If what we believe to be true about Jason Garrett does play out to be true, that he was holding Dak back and there is significant meat on the bone, to take a phrase from Jason Garrett, or Cowboys history, then the season plays out with McCarthy and Moore. Dak plays even better than last year. The offense is more efficient, more situationally excellent. I'm talking, you know, red zone quite a bit there. And then, boom, you see the kind of production from Dak that makes you, you know, look at his ass and be like, well, hell yeah. You know, but to me, like, the way things played out last year, when they were against bad teams, he built this mountain of stats. And when they were against some bad teams, they got down by 14 to 20 points in the first half. And then against those bad teams, they came back in the second half. Or they blew out the bad teams, you know. But against the good teams, it wasn't there, you know. And I for me, that's relevant. I don't like what we have seen last year from Dak along with this coaching staff. is that was that the optimal version you could get from the passing game? Because you do a dive into the expected points added stat, which is so big in the analytic community. Jeff's a big believer in it. And in games where there was still a 40 to 60% win probability being shared by each team, I have a 45% chance, you have a 55% chance, or 40-60, 50-50, it's still a coin flip game. The offense became mediocre. It wasn't good enough to play in, play out. Now, you add up all the stats at the end of the year, and it provides this very compelling statistical argument. But I'm not sold that I need to give more than what Russell Wilson is giving to the guy, and I love the idea of getting clarity in my mind that, boy, if Jason Garrett was holding this thing back and now it gets awesome, now I'm totally thrilled to, you know, reach to whatever market value is. I want my quarterback to be the top paid quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I want to believe that the coach had a lot to do with it. And I know, yeah, I saw some people arguing with you on Twitter about, hey, well, the coach helped him get these numbers we're talking about and stuff like that. I saw that argument going off and on. I think that Dak was also a victim of some things that happened to him offensively during the year. The coach is clearly,
sure,
number one.
Yeah.
I you know, playing Jason Witten, you know, what was going on with Ezekiel Elliott, you know,
yeah,
Amari Cooper disappearing at times during, you know, games and stuff. You know, Michael Gallup not stepping up in the Jets game to help him with some plays.
Could have been
there,
even better.
Yeah, yeah, you know, there's some games, I mean, that he clearly, I think he was a victim of some things going on around him. Was it totally his fault? Yeah, there's some things you can point the finger at. He missed some throws. Has he gotten better? Has the accuracy gotten better?
Yes.
Has the,
yeah,
game mechanics gotten better? Has protecting,
absolutely,
the football gotten better? Mm-hmm. All these things you could argue with in a positive light. But
yeah,
I'm like you. I want to see the fact that Jason Garrett is no longer a part of this. I'm looking for that more,
yeah,
than anything.
I'm excited by it, too.
Anything,
yeah,
more. I want to see. Because if it comes back where all of a sudden this offense isn't as good, and you say, okay, Kellen Moore's not as good, Mike McCarthy's supposed to be able to work with quarterbacks, he can't get something done. Now if you're the Cowboys and Jerry Jones in the Monday morning meeting, you could say, okay, I told you guys, I had my concerns. And now,
yeah,
they're coming to reality here. So, yeah, I you know what? The Dak Prescott has to feel like he won here, because he's going to ultimately bet on himself again and see if he can make this work and have the type of season will give him even more money. The Cowboys on their end are like, okay, we didn't have to commit. And you even brought it up yesterday, and it made a whole hell of a lot of sense to me. It's a four-year deal. You know, it's a 4 years. And after 4 years, you could be away from the deal. But now that, you know, if this thing, like I say, if it's only a one-year deal, now you get the evaluation. Now you can kind of make some plans for the future. It's like, okay, our evaluation was we gave him receivers.
Yeah.
We gave him a line. We gave him a coach. It's on him. We now, yeah, need to move on from that. And that's going to be the opportunity here this season.
I mean, the thing I would be asking is, okay, what happens if we get awesome coaching? I believe Kyle Shanahan would walk in here with this offensive group and go 30, 31, 32 points per game. We're 4 points short of that. You know, where are the points? That's a massive amount of points over the course of an NFL season. Was it Jason Garrett? Was last year a career year for Dak? You know, there's so many things that I think are going to continue to reveal themselves as we move forward. And I don't think it's a big mistake by the Cowboys to let it play out 1 year on the franchise tag. You know, I think they're still going to, even if you let it play out another year and he's on the free agent market, oh, he's going to get market value. Fine. Yeah. Pay the quarterback market value. It's the most important thing. But we need to see proof. It's a very high bar. We don't want to be a team that just accepts good enough to be a starter, good enough to make some Pro Bowls. We need to see proof that the guy is good enough to be paid like an all-pro, make the playoffs, get you in an NFC championship game. The history shows, a long history of it now, if you're not a Hall of Fame quarterback, but you get paid like one, you're probably not even going to the playoffs because of the impact that it has on the rest of your roster. It's players on the rookie deal. It's Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Those are the guys that win big. Why are we so tenaciously defending, no, this guy's good enough? What's he good enough to do with perfect protection, damn near, and the best weapons in football? He's good enough to go 8-8 at 26 points per game. Come on now. Patrick Mahomes does 33 points per game with this. That's a touchdown difference. So if you're the Cowboys and you're a little bit cynical about this, I don't think that's something you beat them up for. I think that's something you tip their cap and say, all right, the Cowboys are paying attention. The Cowboys aren't on the train of teams lining up to sign guys that are borderline Pro Bowlers like their Hall of Famers. Borderline Pro Bowler getting paid like that is a big old curse on your team. Dak took steps last year. We're hoping he takes more steps with Jason Garrett out of the fold.
Oh yeah,
I think it's expertly played by the Cowboys.
No, that's, and you know what? How many times have we gone and trust me, working in the scouting department, all those years of listening to fans talk about why did they overspend for this? Why did they give this guy too much money? Why? Why are they in cap hell? Why? You know, it was always, and it was, everybody was so critical by that. And then now you have a measure of physical responsibility. And you're thinking like, well, wait a minute, they got to pay this guy. Well, you know, you got to trust the evaluation here, though, too. You know, and but then again, maybe folks out there, and I say trust the evaluation, maybe there's some people out there saying, whoa, wait, Broadus.
Ooh, I like that. Okay.
They tried to get Connor Cook here. You know,
sure.
They tried to get Johnny Manziel here. They tried to get, you know, how many Paxton Lynch, how many
Dak
other...
and Tony were both mistakes. Exactly. That was a great point by Babe this morning
with
Sean and RJ.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we're literally Dak Prescott. If Quincy Carter doesn't fail a drug test, Tony Romo is on the street. He's gone. Okay. And so now, you know, if Kellen Moore doesn't get his foot stepped on into practice, he might have been your starting quarterback until Romo got back and you'd have never known about. This team has been fortunate with its quarterbacks, and it's got a great history of them, and sometimes not by their own doing. So I can understand why folks out there are going, listen, this guy actually looks like he could play. You know, the other guys they're talking about or they evaluated can't play. So I do get why fans out there are trying to say, no, push the pedal here. We need to get Dak done. But I also understand, though, that, you know what, this front office has had a poor track record when it comes to evaluating those quarterbacks. And maybe if they have, maybe if they let Dak go, then that was another wasted opportunity.
So to reset Brian's two major insights, they wanted to make it a Russell Wilson contract, and Dak's team wanted assurance that if the money goes huge with the TV deal, they could rip it up and renegotiate. So you kind of need a player opt out at that situation.
Yeah, you need more built in a way of saying, okay, hey, if we get the gambling money, if we get TV money, more, can we come back to the table here and renegotiate this thing? And I just got the feeling that the Cowboys are like, nah, you signed this deal. We're going to push forward with what we got here.
Okay, at 877-881-1053. What kind of text do we got coming in here? Thank you, Gavin. You and Sean are the last of the Dak haters. We've learned so much about team building in recent years. Let's be 100% sure about this. Okay, so there's somebody who likes that. BS, they paid Tank like a Hall of Famer, and he's a Pro Bowl alternate. Okay. I mean, yeah. You know, the interesting thing with Tank and Zeke, they both had the option of holding out. That's been taken away from Dak Prescott and all players now, and I don't even know if Dak would hold out. I would say both Tank and Zeke are better at their respective jobs than Dak Prescott is at quarterback. I think, you know, Tank not getting the sacks last year is you know, relevant. Getting to the quarterback is important to me, but as Jeff pointed out, the best indicator for how many sacks you're going to have next year is your pressure rate, not how many sacks you had. He was getting there. Quarterbacks were escaping, I think, because the defensive tackle play was atrocious. You know, they were getting both their defensive ends to the quarterback, and he's like, "Well, I know the way out of this thing." Or there were two corners that weren't covering very well, leaving, you know, easier opportunities to complete passes. But, you know, it is an inconsistency for the Cowboys front office. And if you want to look at that and wonder and say, man, if it was good enough for this guy, that guy, and that guy, why not Dak? I think the statistical profile of Dak Prescott's misleading. You know, I think you really got to drill down to more situations to get a better look at exactly what he's capable of when it comes to leading a team to winning football.
I understand the argument of why people are critical of the Zeke contract. I get that. You guys, you and Jeff have made great points about what a running back needs to be, or why would you allocate funds to a running back. But I do see on the side of, you're exactly right about Tank. I feel like, though, Crawford, better defensive tackle play, you know, maybe some a little bit different ideas scheme-wise of how to free him up a little bit more might result into some more sacks. I don't think that Tank Lawrence has forgot how to rush the passer. But I do feel like, though, that every great pass rusher has people around him, next to him, with him, that kind of help them along the way to be those great pass rushers.
Yeah, it's great analysis once again. Out of the 817, if Dak matched last year's stats, would that be enough to pay him? Please leave your name and city you're texting from if you'd like. We'll make you famous here in the nation. They were 18th in the NFL in red zone, Brian.
They were.
As the field gets tighter, the demand on anticipation, accuracy, velocity, tight window throws goes up and up and up. Year one, Dak 2016, NFL didn't see it coming. They were 5th in the NFL in red zone. Since then, it dropped 6% the next year. Then they fell out of the top 10. Then they fell out of the top 20. They came back to 18th last year. So, hey.
It cost them the Minnesota game last year. Two trips inside and you're kicking field goal.
You know, it was a bigger problem in 2018.
Yeah. And I'd like to say that's Jason Garrett.
Me
personally, I'm going to say that. Because, you know, you've been screaming for creativity. And I think if you look at the really good play callers, they find ways. Look what Andy Reid did in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, with that whole thing. When all of a sudden they got in like this 1940s formation, spun everybody, and now, you know, everybody's looking around like, oh, whoa, wait, what's going on here? And then, you know, then they run the play and they score. Sometimes you have to come up with creative ideas. You can't just play football in a phone booth down there. You've spelled it out well. If you're not accurate, if you can't lead the receivers, if you don't have touch, you're going to have problems. But you've got to, as a coaching staff, find ways to create things in such a small area. I don't think this coaching staff did a very good job of that for Dak Prescott,
you're right,
and need to take advantage of some of the things he can do. You talk about running, using your legs, putting pressure, the quarterback draws, anything you can to kind of get him more involved with the game, I think that the staff has to do.
Yeah, so, I'm a big fan of Dak. I think, you know, he's going to be a really good winning player for a while. But when you're looking at a front office, I think you have to give them credit when they're making the moves that, you know, we've been asking this team to make. And you're talking about more financial responsibility, and you're talking about asking the players to prove it more before you reward them, and you know, paying them early costs this team. So we're going to take a break from Guess What Day It Is in Sports History to get some of your feedback. You heard Brian's insights. You heard some of my opinions. We want yours at 877-881-1053. Go ahead and text those bad boys in. We'll come back to your reaction. It's not official yet. 42 minutes away from the Cowboys franchise tag deadline with Dak Prescott next to the Nation. All right, welcome back, Nation. Segment's brought to you by Dripping Springs Vodka, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. Can we get some Dak feedback from you here? It's 37 minutes away, the official deadline, but at this point it would be a complete stunner if a contract gets done. So you think it's a big mistake by the Cowboys? Why? And how worried would you be if he's not a Cowboy in 2022? You know, the whole history of if a quarterback plays under the tag, he's gone. Only happened twice. Will this continue to follow that short sample size rule, or will it break that rule? What do you think about 2022? Is Dak still going to be the Cowboys quarterback? I've never really thought that it's possible he could leave, but I think passing this threshold does have to raise the probabilities, maybe 10-15%. I'm not sold he in any way would actually leave, or that the Cowboys would actually let him get to full-on free agency. Next year's dynamics will be very, very different. There will be a lot more urgency on the Cowboys side, I think. Segment's brought to you by Dripping Springs Vodka, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. Hurt in an accident, not your fault. Call the Frankels 214-333-3333 or go online to truckwreck.com. We want your text at 877-881-1053. As we'll be getting to the G-Bag of the Day coming up here in 5 minutes. Man, these texts are flying in fast. Jimmy in Louisville. Gavin praising a front office for giving massive deals to running backs and linebackers and a defensive end that's underperformed, but letting elite cornerback and refusing to sign your quarterback years ago is smart front officing. I wouldn't let Gavin near my front office.
Well,
strong point there, 972. What do you say, Brian?
No, well, I think you've been pretty consistent about that. I think you've been pretty consistent about the running back, I know for sure. I know you've been critical about the linebacker play, too.
I didn't like that deal.
I've been on the show with you for 5 months now, and I think you've been very consistent about that. I'm not just defending you because we're teammates here. But, yeah, if you're a guy that absolutely loved what was going on at running back and linebacker and all that, I would call you out on that. But yeah. I don't think that. Now, the cornerback, I think Jeff has argued the most out of all of us that hey, he needed to be signed. They needed to make a deal. That was poor front officing. The fact that they went and drafted a wide receiver that we thought they would never draft a wide receiver, trade for one much less. But, yeah, I'd have to give them credit for those kind of things. Now, on the flip side of that, I might be terrified again, like I was talking about, of them going out and finding another quarterback. That might be something that should terrify you. If you want to hammer us for all the other things, hey, that's not the path. But, yeah, if you want to hammer them on their valuations of quarterbacks, by all means, and I think that we've been pretty consistent about that ourselves saying that.
Yeah, we have. I have a couple of questions for you on that point, because how worried would you be if in 2022 you needed a new quarterback? Maybe they draft one over the next two Marches, but excluding that, they did find Pro Bowl players outside of the first round twice. They haven't used an actual first rounder on a quarterback. That's pretty skilled at finding QBs. That's a different way of looking at that same thing, but why not give them credit for finding those guys, Brian?
Well, no, I give them credit because put it this way. There are quarterbacks that they've evaluated that have clearly have no ability playing in the National Football League.
Yeah, a lot of them.
They have. Trust me, I was
one of
the...
But isn't that kind of what you get? He's wildcatting like a mofo on quarterback.
Oh, sure you are. Yeah. And it's like you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle.
Uh-huh.
Seriously, if with Dak Prescott, the whole thing, you can even say this about New England. I know how they drafted Tom Brady. I know, Dick Raybine, the quarterback coach, God rest his soul. Scott Pioli goes, hey, Dick, we're thinking about taking a quarterback here in the sixth round. Who do you want? Hey, I like that Brady kid from Michigan. What, would you interested? Can we get that guy? They got a generational player by a coach just saying, hey, I'll coach this guy. There's a lot of organizations that can't evaluate the position.
Yeah.
A lot of them. And so
tons of guys in the top 10 are flops.
If you're sitting there thinking like, okay, we've got to pay Dak because we can't evaluate, then I don't know. I mean, maybe that's what you should do.
You got to get better at evaluating. If you're really thinking that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That position for sure.
It's surprising to me how level-headed so many Tolos are. I mean, I go onto the Autoflex Leasing Fantex and I experience extremes on one end or another, but 214, Dak's not elite. Just watch the games. He could be much better, but has to turn the corner this season. It would also help if Zeke gets used like Falk was. I like the sound of that. Out of the 7-3-2, Dak's middle of the road. He's not great, not terrible. Why pay him top shelf money to a mediocre quarterback? Although $30 million is no laughing matter. Gavin, what if Dalton shines? Out of the 972 and 817, Andy Dalton's still pretty young. I think we're hearing from some TCU fans. I wouldn't be surprised if Dalton does get a chance to play, that he could still be a winning quarterback. And I think... that's how the NFL looks at every other position. We can get 70% of the performance for 2.5% of the pay. Why not? That's what it is. $1 million compared to $35 million for 4% of the pay, we can get 80% of the player. Well, hey, that's pretty damn compelling, isn't it? And they do that at every other position, Brian. I think it's because the quarterback's such a big part of the business plan, selling tickets, selling advertising to TV sponsors. That's my genuine thought on why teams are so quickly settling on above average quarterbacks and letting them hold it up for the Brinks truck.
They're scared. They're scared out there. Okay. They really are. I mean, you talk to guys and gals in these front offices about quarterback play, and they look at each other like, well, we kind of like this guy, or we kind of, and that's why I always throw out the old ice cream line. You know, my rocky road is your mint chocolate chip. We see all these players differently. And, you know, John Dorsey, he had a vision for Pat Mahomes, but he had to convince Andy Reid it was the right thing to do. He had to convince the organization, hey, let's do this. You know, sometimes you gotta. John Snyder tells me the story about drafting Russell Wilson. He goes, hey, congratulations on the Wilson pick. He goes, yeah, I gave that other quarterback $10 million. What an idiot I am for doing that. You know, Matt Flynn, you know, I mean, he's sitting there. It's a very, very difficult position to deal with. And you do get people that they say, you know what, we're okay with this guy. This guy's not going to kill us. He's not terrible. He's not bad. He's not great. You know, can he be the difference maker? You're hoping that this head coach could bring the absolute best out of him. That's your hope if you're a Cowboy fan right now.
Yeah, we're getting text here. You guys are letting Jason Garrett off the hook for what happened last year. And
please.
We mentioned it several times in the opening segment. I don't think we've mentioned it this segment, but you have to acknowledge. And that's why I like what the Cowboys have done here, because they get to keep the player, see what it looks like with Mike McCarthy. Maybe it gets exciting. One more thing on 2022 with no Dak, and a lot of people are saying I wouldn't be that concerned. Are you sure? I mean, look at how many veterans – are available, and look at how many young players are coming into the NFL. Look at how now the NFL is open to letting dual threat quarterbacks be the guy.
There you go.
There is a much broader pool of talent. There are more veterans available for cheap. Now is the greatest time in my lifetime watching football to go with this plan.
Krusty just watched them draft a 5'9" quarterback first overall.
Yeah.
You know, crusty scout guys like, wait, whoa, what? What'd we just do? We took a 5'9 quarterback first over. Very talented guy. But that's where this thing is going now. You could do this. You could get away with it. You could go find guys that run the offense that have multiple ways to attack you, you know, that put pressure on you. You know, the good coaches are figuring out how to use these talented receivers, these big-time down-the-field tight ends, athletic offensive linemen, mobile quarterbacks. You know, we're all in this. It's no longer this cookie cutter, oh, this quarterback has to be this height, weight, and speed. You know, he has to be. No.
A lot of options now. And, you know, hey, I do believe Dak is going to continue to get better. But this is just if Cowboys offering fair value for performance makes his nose continue to turn up and he does decide to walk. I really don't want that to happen. I'm just saying if worst case scenario did, I think you could recover from. Holy cow, we're late for the G-bag of the day. It's time now for the best audio in the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. We play them all. Vote on which one we like the best, and that's your G-bag of the day. And yesterday, who was the champion?
It was your guy, the one you sent me, the soccer player.
Oh, yes.
The best post-match interview of all time.
Fucking Finwa.
Let's listen to it. Very motivating right here, this guy.
I want to thank God. Because today he made the impossible possible.
Amen.
And then my next story, 4 years ago, I stood in front of you and I was technically unemployed.
Yeah. Read me.
4 years ago, I was here and I was technically unemployed.
That's correct.
And what did you say?
Let me tell you something. The only person that can hit me up on WhatsApp this time is Klopp. So we can celebrate together. Klopp. You get me?
Now listen, I have to tell you, our hearts went out to you last week. You were very transparent, very honest of what happened, without going into all the details of that. Do you feel vindicated tonight with this?
You know what? There's a time for me to speak up on that, and I will speak on it. Today is about, listen, for me, life and football is all about opinions. 4 year ago, somebody gave an opinion on me, and that was their opinion. And I hope my story shows that the only opinion that matters is the opinion you have about yourself.
Come on.
And I was lucky and blessed to find a manager and players who believed in me. So we are here today, and I'll say it for the people in the back. Wickham's in the championship. Wait, wait, I'll say it one more time. Wickham's in the championship. Wait! People in the back didn't hear me. Wickham is in the championship.
And can I ask you one thing?
Go on.
Are we both still going to be employed in a couple of years' time?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know, mate. I have no idea.
I love
the
that.
Celebratory interview is just the absolute best. Jurgen Klopp sent him a message, the Liverpool coach, iconic coach, congratulating him. It's a story sweeping across both social media and the soccer world, and salute to them. I mean, that excited to get one step below the Premier League. But, yeah, Klopp said, I know it must have been your lifelong goal to be a championship player, and now finally you are. I hope you celebrate appropriately.
You might it, might.
You might it.
You might it, might.
Back of the old onion bag. I hope I see him on TV next year, man. We got to catch this guy. He's a beast.
He has no neck. It's just like chin and shoulders.
You can play with him in FIFA. It's Wycombe, W-Y-C-O-M-B-E, and he's got like a 99 strength. He just bulldogs people. Okay, who's challenging?
Cartnark. Remember Cartnarks?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't put your cart in the right spot, they record you and all the other crazy stuff. They're in Staten Island right here.
What are you doing? Sir, the cart. Oh, here. Hey, sir. Now the cart goes, sir.
Don't touch my car.
Why's that?
Because I said so, that's why.
But, sir, I said take your cart back, and you
go
said...
Go away from me.
I'm away from you, sir.
Get away from me.
I'm politely asking.
Politely? Don't politely ask me anything.
Why not?
Because I don't want to talk to you.
Why not? You're the one who let the cart out.
So?
So that's inconsiderate.
He gets paid to pick up the cart. I didn't throw it anywhere. Okay.
From the cart return, they get paid to pick it up. Not from wherever you decide to leave it out like a big old lazy bone.
Get the f*** away from me.
Why, sir?
Get away from me
now. I will if you return your cart.
Get the f*** away from me.
Will you return your cart?
Get the f*** away from me.
You're not answering my question.
I don't have to answer your question.
Why not?
Who are you?
I'm the Cartnark.
I don't give a f*** who you are.
You just asked me who I was. How come
you could take that camera and stick it
Why are you asking me who I am if you don't care who I am?
Cartnark has done it again.
He was putting on the accent, too. You know, he don't talk like that.
Yeah, that was good stuff right there. I tell you what, if the Cartnark ever gets me, I don't think I'm going to make their video because I'm just going to get in the vehicle and drive away.
There was one I watched where the – you know what? I might play it later this week. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah, might. There's another one. It might be you.
Okay.
Yeah, how you react to it.
I always put the cart back.
Me too, man.
I always do. I walk it. I park so I can park the cart. That's why I get close to it so I don't have to walk it all the way across the parking lot. Yeah.
You know, it's just a matter of customer service to me. I understand that part of our world is currently obsessed with virtue signaling about this. Yeah. Oh, look at me. I'm such a great guy. Yeah. Well, look at me. They just made $200 off me for just putting groceries on shelves. Yeah. Send a dude out, $7.50 an hour. I'm going to shame them. Pay your people more money. Look at all this money I just dropped in here.
Why did you just call me?
He said he was virtual signaling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a little triggered on that.
You put your cart up and you post it on Instagram. Like, look at me, I put my cart up.
I just do it naturally. I don't post it.
No, I'm with you, bro. I'm with you.
Yeah, okay.
I'm with you. You have the freedom to do what you need to
do,
player. How about that?
Thank you.
Let's vote so we can move
on. Can I do
here?
One more? Real fast. Uh-huh. You don't have to vote for it. It's about French fries. John Mulaney, it's a joke.
Okay. Sometimes when people order fries, they act like it's a little adventure. They'll be like, should we get a plate of fries for the table? Should we do it? Should we share some fries? They gotta make sure that everyone's on board with it. It's like, if I get fries, you'll have a couple, right? If I get fries for the table, I know you'll have fries if I get fries. Should we do it? Yeah, let's be bad. Come on, let's do it. All right, we're gonna take a plate of fries. It's like a group of couples agreeing to do ecstasy together.
Yeah. Put the cheese and the bacon on those bad boys.
Absolutely.
Now we're really getting a guilty pleasure. Is it the French fry joke? Is it the Cartnarks inconsiderate? Or is it Adebayo Akinfenwa, now a championship player with Wickham FC? I'll vote for Adebayo once again. Lucius?
I'm riding with the Cartnarks. Cartnarks.
I'm going to go with the Cartnarks today myself.
By a score of 2-1, they've done it once again. Cartnarks back in the winner's circle in the G-bag of the day. Might be Cartnark versus Cartnark coming up later on this week if they remain in the championship spot. Okay, Brian, your daily content's coming up next. Where are we going?
Yeah, college football coaches weigh in about losing players for a postponed season. We'll talk about that next.
All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Time now for Brian Broaddus' daily content. Here he is, Broaddus.
Thank you very much, General. The Athletic, Bruce Feldman, did a survey of the 20 FBS coaches about the possibility of losing players if, in fact, to the NFL, to the draft, if we do not have a college football season. And he painted it in a way that would these players just completely sit out? You know, would they just say, okay, we're not coming back. We're just going to forego our eligibility and then, you know, go to the NFL and make that, you know, make that a priority. And
I think that that's an option. How could you turn that down if you're a player knowing, hey, college might not even be able to play as much?
Yeah,
the NFL doesn't have as much hurdles to clear.
Yeah, they're absolutely right about that. The concern is with and they're talking about this in the form of the spring season. You know, if in fact, we don't have a fall season, we're going to move this thing to the spring. Mm-hmm. The concern is that many college teams will lose some of their top players because they opt to sit out instead of get ready, to get ready for the draft. And, you know, Feldman was asking these guys, and it is interesting some of what the coaches were saying, but some of the other people around the league, my buddy Daniel Jeremiah was quoted as part of this. Daniel works for the NFL network, and he goes, I think agents are already working on guys to shut it down if that's what ends up happening. So, you know, the agent community out there is starting to talk to guys like, listen, you don't need to play. You're already good enough.
Yeah.
We don't have to.
I mean, if you played great in 2019, that film is there. You're going to get drafted. Maybe if you played bad or you were hurt, your agent would be like, okay, play like half the season and bail. You know, but I think with it being spring and the NFL having the draft and then turning around 4 or 5 months later and having the NFL season, you got to make some real serious business decisions.
Real serious business decisions. And again, these coaches are talking about, you know, they were saying, hey, you could lose 40 to 50 guys. You know, he goes, it's a weird.
On one team?
Various
or total,
total.
Okay.
Yeah, various things. He says, you know, it's a weird situation. I think it could cost some guys 15 to 20 of them around. So, you know, maybe because of the unknown and stuff like that. But, you know, it just kind of removes the risk. You know, what if something happens in the spring? But they ask one Power Five assistant coach. He said, you know, the whole situation, it's a mess. He goes, we have no leadership from the NCAA. He goes, it's a damn joke. You know, and you know, that's kind of where, you know, I was, you know, Bucky Brooks was kind of bringing up your point. Another colleague of mine, another guy I know well, we drafted Bucky in Green Bay. He says some top players, like you said, General, have enough tape to make a reasonable assumption about their draft status. The gray area players will be the late bloomers. Those guys who haven't quite performed at a high level consistently need another season of tape to move you up the board, and they will need to play a few games in the spring to confirm their status.
So, oh yeah, okay. So they're talking about that as well.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's kind of where, you know, it's interesting. They and these coaches, you know,
I think the team should the school should talk to the coaches and the players about, hey, how many games would you all agree to? What if we just did 6 in the spring? You know, something like that. Get some TV money in here. Get you some games. Get us some games. And, you know, preserve your health.
Yeah, they were, with the fact that they're going to conference games only.
Yeah.
You know, I think that is the best way to go, because then you could talk about the testing at the various universities. You'll have an idea. Each member university will have to be honest about their numbers, their tests, things like that. If you're an opponent, you could say, okay, I know they're going through all the protocols and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think that would be really important. These 20 coaches, they were also asked how many players from their team they would expect to see sit out and prep for the NFL rather than play spring college football. Okay. And to these 20 coaches, okay, they had 10 coaches said they would lose 2 or fewer. The next group was a tie between 3 to 5. And that were 4 coaches each. Four coaches said 3 to 5. Another group said 6 to 8, as far as guys. And then 2 coaches said that they felt like that they would lose eight or more.
That was Nick Saban and Dabo.
Yeah, that was LSU might have been involved with that one too.
Yeah, coach.
Yeah, but you know, see, that's where these coaches, they said, you know, they're kind of seeing what the players were looking at here. He said, this one coach said, if I was an elite player, if I was a first round projected pick, I wouldn't play. That's what this coach said. He says, adding to, he thinks that more players who aren't close to the projections would be tempted to leave because we live in a copycat world. Wherever it was on social media, I'm going to do. He said there's a
lot. No, it has nothing to do with being a copycat world. It's a good idea.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
But see, he says there's
copycatting would be staying.
There would be, exactly. He said there's a lot less trust factor because you're not with them every day. You know, so that, I thought that was a pretty
don't
interesting.
Don't have time to brainwash them. Yeah. Man, this is crazy.
Yeah, but
I'd be losing my players.
Well, these coaches were also thinking, you know, that there were some like that were top 25 fringe teams that think that, you know, he goes, I would hope that the NFL would step in and give draft grades. This is something that we've known throughout. You know, the college kids have the opportunity to ask a committee for draft grades. And it used to be where you gave them an actual, okay, this guy's a free agent or he's a fifth rounder or whatever. But now it's like, really, it's just a first or second round grade. So if you don't fall into that category, so it's not like you're saying, okay, well, this guy's, you're a third rounder now, you're a fourth rounder, you're a fifth rounder. No, they just give you, they've kind of narrowed it down to be able to say, okay, give you a better understanding of, okay, I don't need to go. But these coaches were to hope that the NFL would step in and not give these guys, you know, false information. That's the biggest problem, is that sometimes these agents, you know, they tell these kids that they're first and second round players, and they're really not. You know, and now the NFL, you know, now they come out, they don't get drafted, and now there's all kinds of things that you have to deal with, and these kids get all disappointed because they weren't picked in the first and second round, and then you've got these scouts telling them, like, well, who told you you were a first-round player? Who told you you were a second-round player? So
yeah, they do need a much better system, and if they could clarify the exact round and give a better idea, I think a lot of kids are wanting to get out of school, you know, and even if you tell them, hey, you might not get drafted, they're like, well, fine, I'll get onto a football team, you know. I'll be an undrafted free agent and work my way in camp. That I think is more appealing for a lot of players than, you know, going back to another year of school, especially in a university that may or may not be able to play.
Yeah, I just think there's a lot of kids out there, and this is going to sound terrible, I think there are a lot of kids that just don't like school.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, and that's hard. When you're on a coaching staff, I was at TCU in 2007, and they used to send me, I was in football operations, and they used to send me to walk around the campus to make sure that kids were going to school. Hmm. You know, my job was to make sure that this kid got to class. You know, I'd be standing there at the door waiting, and then
I couldn't do it, man. I tried to go to college four times. And once I had the freedom of not being in high school, you know, and being accountable and having them call the house if I was gone, I'd sit in class sometimes for 20 minutes and be like, dude, this is horrible. I'm going to be here for another 2 hours. Get me the crap out of here. And I would just leave. You know, so I totally relate to those kids. School's a beatdown unless you're really, really into the subject matter.
Well, that's like I say, that it was hard because there would be every day I would have to report about four or five kids that didn't make it to class. And then that afternoon at practice, Coach Patterson would have to go have a word with him. You know, hey, you're not going to. Oh, yeah, I know I was at class. No, you weren't. You know, Brian was there to make sure you were in class. You weren't there. So one final thing before we get out of here, though, General, this one Power Five coach said, personally, I think we should play spring. We do spring football, so it's not like anything we aren't used to that time of the year. You'd be able to have to be smart how you practice, but I think we could definitely do it. The most snaps we've ever had a guy play in a 13-game season is 1,200. So from a contact standpoint, it is more doable. So they feel like that maybe they could play in the spring and then turn around and get things done in the fall, though. We talked about that a little bit yesterday, and maybe there will be a concern. Lincoln Riley thinks, you know what, maybe we play less games in the spring, and that will make sure that we have more time for healing up in the fall as we get closer.
We're figuring out, like, when the pandemic first started, they said, we're going to shut everything down and see where we are. We saw where we were. We're bringing it back. We brought it back for 2 months. They're like, crap, we need everybody to wear masks and to socially distance harder. We need to shut down the bar. So now we're there. You know, you give this another 4 or 5 months, a couple more ebbs and flows, the world's going to know how to deal with it better. The doctors will be treating it better. We'll be closer to a vaccine. I think there's a lot of things that make sense with just going ahead and pushing it back a little bit right now, because the timing of where this curve is going right now, it just doesn't line up that well.
No,
and
it doesn't.
All the challenges in place. I mean, we don't even know if the elementary kids are safe to go back to school yet. You know, we need to give that another 4 or 5 months. So we shall see. Thank you, Brian. Every day, 2:40, his daily content. You're going to want to check in. Let's get some more text feedback. What do you do with the topic of who's winning the Super Bowls and Dak's not going to be in either one of those categories anymore? It's coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.